That's all there is, right? That's all you need. Just call on his name. Hey, welcome to the River Church, you guys. Glad that you're here with us today. I want to just share a couple of things before we get started on the message this morning. If you are a guest with us, if this is your first time here, you're checking out the River Church, welcome. Welcome to church today. Just glad that you're here. We have some blue Connect cards in the backs of some of the chairs, and I want to just invite you to take those, fill it out, put your name there, and we just want to reach out to you, connect with you, and just say thanks for coming today. This is a way that we can just share also just different things that are coming up and different announcements, just so that we can keep you connected with us as well. So please do that. And also on those Connect cards, on the back is a place to write prayer requests. Every week, we will get those prayer requests and pray over them. And so if there are things that are on your heart that you want to be prayed for, I just want to invite you to write those things down in the Connect cards and put them in the black boxes in the back. That's where we take our offerings as well. And so if you want to put your offerings in there, you can do that as well. You have some yellow leaves on your chairs. Some of you have had them misplaced because you were sitting next to some students, and so they were using them as throwing stars or something else, making origami things with them and all that. These are for you to take and to write down a prayer request on anything, and our coffee cart ministry, the ladies that are back there have really just stepped up and desire to pray over each and every one of your prayer requests. And so they are asking that you write something down so that they can put that on the tree. There's a tree back there on the wall, and they want to just plaster that thing. So you don't have to put your name on it, but just things to pray for. And just different things, even if it's things that you're grateful for, things that you would just like to ask the Lord and contend with, or whatever it is, just write those things down on the leaf and then take them back to either the Connect Corner or the coffee cart. You can leave them in either place and just drop them off there. So that's what I wanted to say about the leaves that are on your chairs today, okay? This is the last thing I want to share before we pray for the tithes and offerings today. I want to just put this slide on the screen. This is our River Report for October, all right? Now, we've been sharing and having a lot of people give testimonies and talk about our offerings and our giving, and I just want to say just a praise God for what has come in over the course of this month. That 74 something or other, 74,265, that's just this month. And that is an amazing praise God. So praise God. Just so that you can kind of look and see what is happening. So we're very, very grateful, and we're just excited for what God is doing. And I want to just encourage you to keep giving. Continue to see what God is going to do in your life as you continue to give your time, your talents, and your treasures to the Lord. I want to just say something that has just been on my heart with this. I want to just share with you what I hope to see in this house as a church, as a body of believers. When I say church, I mean all of us together, not the building, okay? So what I want to see out of us as the church coming from this place, we're called to be a resourcing church, a church that pours out into the community. And we do this in a number of great ways, okay? We help with benevolence, we help with our solar initiative, and we do some amazing things. And I know that the Lord wants to continue to make us a resourcing place, not only in those financial ways, but also to teach, to encourage, and to grow individuals in this community. On top of that, a core value that we've shared about is generosity in this place. That we as a church are going to be generous, that we will be able to give above and beyond. My hope is that in the days to come, in the years to come, what we will see is if there is somebody that is struggling with cancer treatment debt, where they've gone to the hospital and they have like $250,000 in debt because of doctor's bills, we could actually go write that person a check and say, it's paid for. If a missionary needs a tractor, we can write that and say, the tractor is paid for. Do you see where I'm going with this? if a group of people want to go on a missions trip over to Uganda and help the GEM village ministry out there, we could just say, hey, it's taken care of, it's paid for, you're good to go. Kids going to camp. More people in our community that need financial assistance and financial help, we would be able to do that. As we, as a church body, give and pour in those resources, that is the hope and the dream to go out. I was talking to a guy just the other day, and he's like, you know, it's interesting how some people will say that I don't want to give to a church because they're only using that money to pay for the pastors and to keep the lights on. And I'll tell you that when only 10 families give 80% of the tithes and offerings for a church, that's all that is going to be able to take place and to be able to be paid for, is for the pastors and the lights to be kept on. But when more people give, and more people give, the less that overhead comes, and the more blessing, and the more outpouring, and the more generosity we can have as a church. So I want to just encourage you with that. We celebrate how much has come in this last month. That is October, only October. I'm looking forward to seeing how we can continue to celebrate what God is going to continue to do in this house as we continue to be good stewards and as we continue to be generous pouring out in this place. All right? So with that, let me pray for the offerings this morning. God, I thank you for all that is to come. I thank you for what you are doing in this house with these gifts, with these offerings, Lord, with these financial just outpourings. Lord, would you continue to use these to further your mission from this place? That it helps the homeless, that it helps the hurting, that it helps the downtrodden, Lord, that it helps the seeking and the struggling, Lord, that it helps many, many, many people. And Lord, may it be used to further your kingdom, to give you glory and honor and praise. Lord, we love you, and I just pray that you would multiply it like you did the loaves and the fishes. And may you just take all of these things. We give you glory and praise you and honor you in your name. Amen. Amen. All right, well, so good. Hey, this morning, I want to just share with you that we are in the midst of a series. It is a series on the book of Philippians. We're digging into it. It is something that we've been pretty excited about. It's just essentially a conversation, a letter on how to walk out living a lifestyle of being a Christ follower and what that all means. And so the first chapter, I shared. The second chapter, Nick shared. If this is your first time here, I want to just invite you to go back and to listen to those messages. There's four in total so far on this series, and we're taking 2 weeks on each chapter. And you can find those by going to trcdurango.com, or you can do it on the app. And so, just you can find those messages there. And I just want to encourage you to do that to get caught up. But you know what? If you don't, I'm not going to be hurt or offended, but I will say that you're missing out on some really rich stuff on chapter 2, especially. Just last week was really, really good. I'm just super, super been challenged by it and working through my salvation. It was a great, great message, Nick. And so, but this morning, we're going to get into chapter 3, and we're going to look at this over the next couple of weeks. And as we do this, I want to just make this statement in context for where we're going today in the message. And this is that we all live in a world that values achievements and titles. I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, but as I was reflecting on this portion of Scripture, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11 today. And as I was reflecting on this, I realized that we all live in this world where we value achievement. You know, being on the honor roll, being on the dean's list, getting the blue ribbon at the state fair, I mean, these achievements are great, right? That we have worked hard to have these things, or a title, right? You've got your master's or your doctorate, or you know, you have these initials after your name. You've worked hard to acquire these different titles in life, and where none of these things are necessarily wrong or bad. We want to just dig into this a little bit this morning as we talk about what it is in Philippians 1, verse 3. And Philippians 3, verse 1. A little bit backwards there. The thing is that we are dealing with this today, and it is no different for the people in Philippi. Paul, as he's writing this letter to the Philippians, he's sharing this same type of a thing, wanting to talk about these achievements, these lists, these thoughts of greatness. The church in Philippi, being in Philippi, this was a town, that the city that was, you know, took pride in the fact that it was very much like Rome. In fact, the nickname for Philippi was Little Rome. They loved being Roman. They loved not paying taxes. They loved just living the Roman life. And so they took pride in the fact that they were Roman. And Paul was reminding these Christians to not necessarily focus on that anymore. He wanted them to see what it meant to follow Christ. And so in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, he says this: "Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith." Now, when he's talking about this rejoicing in the Lord, in this moment, he's not necessarily just saying, "Hey, let's just celebrate and let's party with Jesus." What he's saying is, I want you to focus on the Lord. I want you to focus on Christ. I want you to stay in this place of keeping Him the priority. Keep your focus on the Lord. Don't look at your own stuff, because the joy is in the Lord, not in yourself. Paul wants them to stay focused on Christ, not on the flesh. And the reason he's really talking about this in this moment, he goes on to share about these people that were kind of infiltrating the conversation with the other Christ followers. And these people were called Judaizers. And what they were doing is they were coming into the area and they were talking to the Christians, telling them that in order to truly be saved and to truly be Christ followers, they needed to be circumcised. Ah. As an adult, I don't think that would be a very fun thing to do. And yet, here is what these guys are saying, is they're saying, you have to do this. You have to be circumcised in order to truly be followers of Christ. And Paul's going, guys, no, 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 no. Rejoice in the Lord. Focus on Him. Don't worry. Don't focus on the stuff. Now, we deal with this today in many cases. I'm sure that many of us have come from religious backgrounds where there have been certain expectations placed upon you that in order to be saved or in order to live a Christian life, you have to dress a certain way, look a certain way, sing a certain style of music, or act and respond with a, you know, pray a certain way and all of this stuff. And Paul is letting these guys know in Philippi, look, let's stay focused on what's important. Let's stay focused on Christ. And let's not be focused on these Judaizers. It's not about the stuff. And in Philippians 3:3, he says, "For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort." When he's talking about this, and they're saying, hey, you need to be physically circumcised, he's saying, guys, the reality is we've actually been spiritually circumcised. When we come to Christ, our hearts have been set free. We have been renewed. We are a new creation. The old is gone and the new is here. There is this way that the Judaizers were talking about, and Paul's saying, guys, you don't have to worry about that. Don't deal with that. And then Paul goes on to talk about his own stuff and how he is qualified in his righteousness as a Jew. And I want to just read that to you this morning. It's not going to be on the screens, but I want to just read to you verses 5 and 6, because this is Paul's just laying it out for everybody in Philippi of how he's got what it takes to be a righteous person. He says this in verse 5. He says, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. Okay. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. So in essence, Paul is saying, when it comes to walking this out, I am the man. If it is a requirement of all of the stuff, I am the man. But listen to what he says about what he thinks about this stuff. In verse 7, he goes, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ. Counting it all as garbage. The stuff doesn't matter. The stuff doesn't matter. Who your parents are doesn't matter. The education that you have doesn't matter. The job that you have doesn't matter. The status, the money, the size of the house that you have does not matter. What your background is doesn't matter. What car you drive or don't drive, it doesn't matter. What matters is Christ. Paul goes a bit farther, right, in talking about this, not just saying it doesn't matter, but he says, I consider it even garbage. Greek translation really talks about this in a way of saying it's like dung. We can talk about poop in church. Paul's going, all of this stuff is worthless compared to Christ. Why does he view it this way? Well, Paul's realized that knowing Christ is of the highest value. There is nothing better than knowing Jesus. There is no greater relationship. There is no greater engagement. There is no greater thing than knowing Christ and having relationship with Christ. And in Matthew 13:44, it's like Jesus shared this, and he shares that the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered it up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. You see, Paul realized that Jesus is the treasure. Jesus is the treasure. Jesus brings freedom. Jesus brings hope. Jesus brings forgiveness. It's Jesus that brings life. It is through Jesus' sacrifice on that cross, when we have communion and we reflect on that stuff and we talk about Jesus dying and his sacrifice, it gives us the opportunity to have a reconciled relationship with God forever, to be with him forever and ever. Before Christ's death on the cross, there was a separation that could not be filled in, could not be covered. It is only through Christ. And Paul realizes this, and he goes, titles are nothing. When it comes to the cross, everybody comes to the cross on a level playing field. We all need Jesus. We all come to him, and it is through him that we get to the Father. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. And so it is important that you understand that Paul sees this. He goes, there's nothing else better. Jesus is the treasure. When I think of treasure, I go to movies like Indiana Jones. I go to National Treasure. I love these kinds of movies. They are my favorite genre. Adventure movies with a treasure in them. Books that I read, Clive Cussler stories, you know, when I just want to have some entertainment. I will read stories with a treasure hunt in the midst of it. I love going geocaching. Have you ever done this before? There's an app where you can look and see where to find treasure. And I'll be standing out in the middle of a field, walking around, looking for a little canister, and I'm looking into rocks, looking. If somebody were to drive by, they're going, what is that dude doing out in the middle of that field? Because I'm like this. In a park, I'm just looking under rocks and things. And I don't care what's around me because I'm pursuing the treasure. When it comes to those movies like Indiana Jones, he's willing to risk his own life and sadly even the lives of the people that he's with to find the treasure. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's going to swing, you know, he's going to do all sorts of stuff to try to get that treasure. Nothing is going to stand in his way. Paul realized that because Jesus is the ultimate treasure, nothing was going to stand in his way. And he was telling the church in Philippi, you guys, Jesus is all you need. Jesus is the ultimate treasure. I will count everything else as loss. Nothing compares to him. Nothing is more precious than the treasure of Jesus. And here is something that is so cool to think about. For Jesus, nothing was more precious than you. It gives me goosebumps when I think about that. I hope it does you too. Nothing was more precious to Jesus than you. He came to seek and to save the lost. And so now, because of his death and resurrection, there is now opportunity for us now to seek him, to go back to him, to return to him, to look at the rest of this stuff and go, you know what? All of this pales in comparison to this relationship that I have or that I'm going to have with Jesus. So what's the result? The result of counting everything as loss. In verses 8 through 10, Paul shares what the result is of counting everything but Jesus as loss. The first thing that he looks at is to gain Christ. In Philippians 3, the second half of 8 and the first part of 9, he says, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. To gain Christ. Nothing compares to this opportunity that Paul had was to gain Christ and become one with him. Once we find Jesus, then every decision should form a growing momentum of deeper relationship with him. Once we gain this relationship, we've talked about this before, you know, to gain, to live as Christ, but to die as death, right? That's what he talks about in chapter 1. And in this place of gaining relationship, gaining Christ, having this deeper relationship, we are in essence pursuing this relationship deeper and deeper, knowing God further, knowing Christ more, and in so there should be momentum that is built so that it's not necessarily that that we're falling away from him at this point. The closer we get in that relationship, we should be growing in him. Now, our relationship isn't like this ever, right? There's good times and there's bad times, but the hope is that as we are growing, even the momentum in the downside should be swinging us up closer to him, and more in that relationship with the Father. All right? So the first thing is to gain Christ. The second thing was that he found in Christ's righteousness. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law, rather. I become righteous through faith in Christ, for God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. Philippians 3:9, the second half of Philippians 9. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. The impossible task of working in our own strength to become righteous is removed. Only to realize that Jesus has made a way for us to be righteous through faith in him. The beautiful thing that Paul is talking about in this is that he is recognizing that he no longer has to focus on putting in the work to be righteous. Because as we look at it, there's nothing that we can do. In Romans, it talks about that the wages of sin is death. That we've all fallen short of the glory of God. That there's nothing that we can humanly do to come into this place of reconciled relationship with God, except through Christ. And Paul realizes that this, and so he is going, man, because of Jesus, I can become righteous. Because of Christ, he is the one that is going to free me of the sin. Because of Christ, I now have been washed white. Because of Christ, he has changed and transformed my entire life. And Paul, just so you know, I mean, here's the guy that when we're talking in the book of Acts, and there's the story of Stephen being killed to death by rocks, all right? He is looking up, Stephen is looking up, and he's like, I see God. I see Jesus, and he's standing at the right hand of the Father. And he's looking in this moment, and there's people stoning Stephen. It says in this little section, and the guy holding the coats for all of these people that were killing Stephen was a man by the name of Saul. Saul, we know, is the one who became Paul. This guy, as he talks about, killed Christians because of his zealousness, but realized that none of that was worth it. It all paled in comparison to Christ. And the final thing was to know Christ. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to just hit this for a second, this word know. This is an intimate word. This is intimate relationship. It's not just I want to know Christ. I want to have all this head knowledge about who Christ is. I want to be able to understand all of the things that makes Jesus tick. No, it is a different kind of knowing. It is a knowing in relationship, deep relationship. Having a very intimate relationship with another. And this is where Paul is saying, I want to have that kind of deep friendship, that deep relationship with Christ, and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Paul comes back to the fact that nothing else is more valuable than knowing Jesus. In fact, he goes on to the point of saying, you know what? Even if I have to suffer as Christ suffered, it's worth it. It's worth it. Whatever it takes, whatever it takes. All of these titles that we focus on and work towards, all these abilities that we can stand and list out about our accomplishments and our greatness, the things that we've done in our life, the mountains that we've climbed, all of these things are great things. And so I don't want you to misunderstand as I'm talking about this stuff, but what I want you to realize above all else is that Christ trumps all of it. Christ is above all of that. The stuff doesn't matter. In the grand scheme of eternity, what will matter most is whether we know Jesus or not. And Paul is wanting the Philippians to understand this. He's wanting them to see that all of the stuff that they think about and how great they are as Roman citizens and all the stuff that they are considering by these people that are coming and saying, no, in order to be a Christ follower, you have to be circumcised. Even in the good and the bad of this stuff, what Paul is saying is all of that stuff, you guys, pales to knowing Jesus. And because he knew Jesus, he gained relationship. He was free. And he knows Christ. I want to invite the worship team back up here today. And my question, you know, most times I'll start with a question in my messages, but today I want to kind of end with one. How bad do you want to know Jesus? How bad? What's the desire of your heart? Next week, we're going to get into the second part of chapter 3 where he talks about pressing on to the goal. But how bad? You know, when I wanted to learn how to snowboard,
I got myself a snowboard. I went down the mountain. I fell a lot. But I got back up, and I kept going down. I was wiped out, exhausted, because I wanted, but I got back up because I wanted to learn how to snowboard. When it comes to wanting to do something or to attain something, how hard do you discipline your life to achieve that? How much pain do you put your body through in order to accomplish goals and the things that you set out to do? May it be that you put that much effort or more into your relationship with God, because nothing compares to the greatness of God, and nothing compares to the relationship that you can have with Him because of Christ. So would you stand with me? You know, I don't know if you caught it or not today, but I really appreciate how Josh picked these songs out that we sang before, because it really brought us to a place of considering that nothing else matters than Jesus. That our soul be united with Him. What was the word, tethered? Yeah. It's a good word. Knit together, that we would be with the Lord. And so I just want to encourage you this morning to press in, to reflect on your life, to sit down this afternoon or in a moment and just go, where am I with all this? And the beautiful thing about it is, when you go and you say, Jesus, I want to seek You, it all falls into place. It all falls into place. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all else will be added. We draw near to Him, and He will draw near to us. So when you say, Lord, I want more of You, you almost instantly get a bear hug spiritually, because the desire of the Lord is to be in relationship with you. You are His greatest treasure. May you seek after Him. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for today. And I thank You for Paul's message and how we are to walk out this life as Christ followers, living out the gospel and seeking after You. Lord, may You be the priority. May we not focus on the stuff of life. May it be that we can get to a place in our life where we count it as garbage, so that we can pursue You 100%, fully You, that nothing else takes Your place. Thank You for Your pursuit of us. Lord, would You be with us today? Would You help us in wherever we are, wherever we go? Would You help us to be the influence in other people's life? Would You help us to be the light, to love one another as You have loved us? Lord, You give us just words of encouragement to others. A heart to serve our coworker, our neighbor, our friend. Lord, we love You. And I pray that we would be like Paul in a desire to know You greater, deeper, richer.